Okay. Let's open into the book of Ephesians in chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And what is your name? It is who? It's Clinton or Linton? It's Clinton. Okay. Now we have begun our class, but you have to be quiet. Can somebody tell me what did we learn yesterday? All of you, come in. What did we learn yesterday? Quiet. Just a moment. What do we learn about Christ's love? It's the only way to be filled with the fullness of God. It's to believe His love. Even though I'm unworthy, I believe He loves me. Even though I do not deserve it, and it makes me happy, and it puts power in me to love and serve God. And today, in Ephesians chapter number 4, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about what it means to be saved and our character and conduct. It shows by how we treat others. If I say I love God, it will show by how I treat you. Even you. If you say you love God, it will show. Hand down, head out. Head out. It will show by how you treat the least of us. You understand? If I'm only nice to the powerful and the rich and to the pretty and to people that can help me, I'm not nice. I'm a hypocrite. But if I can be lowly and humble with people who can give me nothing just because I love God, that shows that the love is real. So if you obtain mercy, you will be merciful. It's the proof of our doctrine. Come inside. 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 You in the yellow. Inside. Come. It's my last day here. And I may not see you again for a few months. Who knows what might happen. So let's take advantage of it. Ephesians chapter 4. It says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, the Apostle Paul is in prison. He's writing us to encourage us. Can you imagine that? A man is in jail for preaching the gospel, and he's telling us how to be happy and how to love God. This cause of the gospel is not a constraint. It is not weak. If I'm in trouble. That's what me and the young ladies were talking about earlier. There's a song that everything's changed. I'm never going to cry again. I might be crying before I get done preaching. A house might fall down and make all of us cry. The gospel does not tell me I'll never cry again on planet Earth. Let me ask you a question. If a Christian who truly loves God is hit by a car, is it going to hurt? If he truly loves God and he falls off a ladder, is it going to hurt?
Yes.
So being a Christian does not mean that life doesn't hurt. It means that God is with me no matter what in the hurt. So I have peace in my pain. I have power over my sin and my grumbling. I really have joy in every situation because I always have Christ. I always have God who loves me and forgave me. Did you know that our biggest problem is our sin? Now, who knows that? Who understood as to what I just said? What is our biggest problem? Why is it our biggest problem? Why? What does God hate? What does God punish?
Sin.
What is it that separates me from God?
Sin.
That's my problem. And because of sin, my problem is God. But when Jesus Christ came to take away our sin, by paying our sin debt, and me and you are forgiven, now my sin, it does not separate in between me and God. And I have God on my side and I'm on His side. So now I am blessed. And if that is the case, what is my biggest problem? I have no problem. I got God. And whatever I have to suffer in this life, I can be persecuted, I can hurt myself, I can lose a job. I've been fired from a job for coming here. And they thought that they could drive me out of Africa. But look, I'm still here. And other people said, that's not right. I know him. Let me help him. And so here I am. And when they see me preaching unto you, they are encouraged. You're making other people happy just by being here and listening to the Word of God as I send back pictures. Did you know that you're doing that? You're encouraging other people. You're triumphing over your situation. When Peter actually walked on water, was the water smooth? It was a storm. But by walking on water, he's proving that if he keeps his eyes on the love of Christ, he can overcome anything in this world that looks impossible. Your joy, it will be full. It's a joy that no man can take from you. They can take your body if they're stronger. They can take your money if they have a gun. But they can't take your peace, your joy, and your relationship with Jesus Christ. No man can take that from you if your faith and hope is in Him. So Paul is in prison and he's writing. And he says, I urge you therefore to walk worthy of the calling that you've received. If you've been called, I keep having to bop you on the head. If you've been called into the love of Christ, if He loves you for real, if He forgives you of your sin, then me and you are to walk this way. If your daddy is a king, are you supposed to be in the street sleeping in the gutter? No, you're supposed to walk as a king. You're a forgiven child of God, and it's not in pride. I was just told yesterday that it's preachers here in Kwaibo, but all over Nigeria and the world. But I heard about preachers here who will not go to a meeting to preach if a Jeep does not come to pick him up, because they have to feel important and look important. So it was very strange for people to see me coming to the church on the back of a bike. But our Lord Jesus, He came into town on the back of a donkey. Because our King came to be lowly, to humble Himself and save sinners. How we walk shows how we really feel about God and other people. And Paul tells us, with all humility and gentleness, I want to correct you, but I want to be as gentle as I can. I don't want to be rough and mean. If you want to help a person that's wrong, be gentle. Huh? Abi? Gentle. It's like you take a little child, and the Lord Jesus often would take just a little child to teach them about being humble and about being servants. Am I supposed to be rough with him? He's so small. Am I supposed to be rough with him? Or how about him? Or how about a man that's my age? No, I'm still to be gentle and try to love him. And patience, accepting one another in love. Me and you are not to call down fire on people. We're to love people. Our Lord Jesus tells us to love our enemies. Because while me and you are enemies, Christ died for us. But we forgive. And we give our hearts. And it's okay to cry over other people's sins and weaknesses and other people's pain. And it's okay to cry unto God and say, I'm sorry over my sin, or I'm suffering and I'm hurting. I'm lonely. It's okay to curl up in a ball and tell God. It said, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace, maintain peace in between. I'm so happy to come here and to see you guys actually love each other. It makes my heart glad. I would hate to come here if you were fighting and arguing and hating, everybody pushing, it would be terrible. But when I see you kind, it makes me feel good. And other people do. And that's what a real church is. It's a group of people who love each other, who have the same peace that comes from God. That's a real family. There is one body and one spirit. There's only one kind of church. It preaches the truth. It lives by it. Just as you were called to one hope, that's our gospel that you're calling. Only one Lord, only one faith, only one baptism, only one God and Father of all, who is above all. That's our common Father, and through all and in all. And all of God's people have the same Father and believe in the same gospel. All of God's people believe that salvation is by grace and not from our works. What did you do to make yourself worthy of God's grace? Did you do anything? You didn't do nothing. What did God do to make us worthy of His grace? He sent His Son to die. He paid for our grace, not me and you. Even the good works that we do. And we learned this on Tuesday. Even our good works are part of the package of grace. There was a man that was on a boat and he had paid his ticket and he wouldn't eat the food because he thought it was too expensive until he realized, I paid for the food too. And when Jesus died upon the cross, He paid for your good works in order to give them to you. It isn't something I'm going to be paying God. I never pay Him anything. I just say thank you. That's all our life is to say thank you. If I pulled you out of a ditch that had no water, and you were suffering, and I went down and I risked my life and I pulled you up and I carried you to the hospital and then paid to have you made whole, you would say thank you. Right? And you mean it. If God has saved me from hell, because He chose me, He loved me, He predestined me, He paid my sin debt Himself, I'm just saying thank you. That's the reason I'm a missionary. I'm just saying thank you. I was back in California in my shower crying big tears, asking God, what can I do for you? I was just so happy in His love. And I saw people in Nigeria being mistreated by false prophets, and it broke my heart. And you look like me, and you're my kinsman after the flesh. Most of the slaves, as I've told you, are from Nigeria. So I came back. But it's because I'm loved, I came to love. That's why people can't take away what is motivating me. It's God. It isn't Naira. And it isn't even as to how many people hear me. I come even if I only could preach to five. That's how you should live your life. Don't ever forget how much He loves you. How much He has done for you. And you go live like it. That's the glory of the gospel. And this is the happiest life you will ever live. When you're basking in the love of Christ and you're trying to bring other people unto Christ, whether you are an actress, a banker, if you're a lawyer, if you are... if you carry stuff in the wheelbarrow, as long as you're living under the glory of Christ. Verse 7 says that now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. For it says that when He ascended on high, He took prisoners into captivity. He gave gifts unto people. All of our gifts, all of our ability to serve God comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, who conquered death and who reigns on high. But what does He ascended mean, except He descended to the lower parts of the earth? And the one who descended is also the same one who ascended far above all in order to give us gifts, in order to make us faithful, in order to make us able to serve God. He had to come down here, die. He had to humble Himself. He had to suffer. Had to pay our penalty of sin and then rise back unto the heavens and then send us the power of the Holy Spirit. From verse 11, and He personally gave some to be apostles. There are no more apostles like Paul and John and Peter. Those men are gone in their reward. And they've laid the foundation of the church. And some prophets. There are no more prophets like Jeremiah and Agabus and Elijah. This is the final word from God. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecies. So as a man comes preaching this, don't ever, please hear me on this, don't you ever listen to a man who comes and tells you that God told him something if it's not in this book. I was at a meeting, I think it was on Tuesday, and the false prophet stood up. Didn't have a Bible, never quoted it, never looked to it. He called out people, tried to guess their problems. He used mind tricks and just parlor tricks, just utter fakery. No spirit of God. It doesn't have anything to do with the Bible. Telling people it's your uncle that's causing you all this trouble. Now pick up a stick and say, die, die, die. And if you really mean it, all the bad things are going to happen to him. And then I stood up later, took my Bible out, and the people went straight to sleep. They had no interest in hearing from this. All they wanted was some razzle-dazzle and some fake miracles. But I was at this other church last night, and the people locked in with their Bibles in hand and heard what I had to say. And some were angry at the beginning or middle, but by the end it was more people saying, that's the truth. And I preached the same thing I preached here from Ephesians 1, that we're chosen by God. This election, this predestination, this grace, this redemption by His, it's all Him. It's after the counsel of His. He's God. He saves whom He pleases. We obtain mercy. But as to what the scriptures here is also saying is that some evangelists, that's me, I hope and trust, I believe, I go from place unto place and help people. Some pastors and teachers, the job of a pastor is to teach you what the Bible says. And that's what me and you, we really want to hear as to what says God. What says God? A pastor is to teach you scripture. And then you take your brain and you realize, is it true what he's saying? Is that what that says or not? And how does it compare to everything else in the New Testament? Don't turn off your brain. There's too much of that here. People think every false prophet, everybody who comes with the Bible, everybody who says in Jesus' name. And so on my way here from Saba, I was on the bus, or maybe I was actually in Port Harcourt. But it was a man who came to the other bus, and I'm over here waiting. And so he's preaching, and he's trying to make money. And so then he leaves them, and he comes over to our bus. He preaches, he prays, he prophesies, he promises, no more trouble, ain't nothing going to happen to you, I declare, I decree. And he did the whole shtick for only one reason. And you know what it was? Offering time, money time. Hold up your offering for your blessing. Pay your seed money. Is that in the Bible?
No.
You keep your money. If I told the people, you keep your money in your pocket. That man is not God to promise you anything in the future. I don't know if I'll be breathing in 60 seconds. How am I going to promise you something? If you are in Christ, you have it all. I can promise you that from the Bible. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's for sure. But even his son suffered. And he was holy. Perfect. How can we say that there will be no more problems? It'll be God in our problems. And he'll rescue us. He'll help us. But a pastor is a teacher. He isn't a huckster. And the reason that these pastors and these teachers exist is for the training of the saints and the work of the ministry is to put you to work. It's not just to come and to hear preaching. But it's to put the preaching on in your life. And to build up the body of Christ. All of us are in this together. All of us have the same mission. Each of us has our own gifts. Until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, growing into a mature man with stature measured by the fullness of Christ. That's our goal, is to be like Christ. Then me and you will no longer be small little children tossed by the waves and blown by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and deceit. I want to be grounded in the gospel of the grace of God and the Word. Not just my emotions. Not just how I feel. It is good to feel good. It's good to sing songs and dance. We ought not be in church trying to dance to be seen. It ought to be just part of our natural worship of God, our praise and our joy. But don't turn your brain off. It has to go through here in order to get into here. Don't turn off this and just say, oh, well, it feels good. Use your reasoning and your logic. That's what the scripture is for. It's to think it through. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way. I have to preach in love. It isn't only true. I have to be loving, as I say, into the head who's Christ. From him, the whole body, all the saints, being fitted together by every supporting person, promotes the growth of the body or the building up of itself in love by the proper working of each part. As I came in earlier, I saw some of the young boys. This time, instead of a pop on the head, I'm going to hand you a high five. I saw him in there working, helping to carry the bread. It was another one with them. You know. Well, that's a positive. There was a young lady, one that was right here, that was actually washing some pots and pans. That's good. Everybody ought to be involved. Everybody ought to be helpful. That's what makes it a happy home. That's a good church. Every member can actually do what you can. What you've been gifted to do by God, and you like doing. This is what I enjoy doing. There's a lot of people who love Christ that would hate my life. But it fits me perfectly. And they ought to be doing what fits them perfectly. Which I can't do. I can't be a housewife. Verse 17. Therefore I say this and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding. He's talking about unbelievers excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their heart. That's why people reject the gospel. Their hearts are hard. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity, with a desire for more and more. That's the only reason that people leave the Bible, is they love sin. There was a preacher, a person sent me this morning and was asking for help. They were obviously very troubled, and so I responded. But this particular preacher was in the U.S., was, you know, slightly famous. I would preach on the thousands, particularly youth. And he said that he tried to fake it until it became real. And it never became real, and so he quit preaching. I don't know what sin he turned to, whether it's homosexuality. I don't know if it's just plain fornication. I don't know what turned his heart. But he never truly believed the true gospel of God's grace, or he would still be believing right now. And the Bible says that people hate the gospel because they love their sin and won't let go of it. But it's Almighty God that has to make our sin better. Until I say I am willing to part with it and trust in Jesus Christ. But that is not how you have learned about the Messiah, Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught by him, it isn't only me teaching. He has to do it by his Spirit. Because the truth is in Jesus. You put off the former way of life. I was mean as a snake. I was full of vengeance and lust. I was like you by nature, a sinner. And when I first came to Christ, people were so shocked. At the beginning, I was ashamed to even bring out a Bible because everybody would say, "You with a Bible?" And then after that, I actually learned the true gospel a few years later. So, after we learn Christ, though, we put away our old life. We get a new master, we get a new father, and we get a brand new life. That former way of life, that old me, and I'm still putting it off. I still see him. Anger, lust, pride, envy, all of it. That is corrupted by deceitful desires. You are being renewed in the spirit of your mind. You are learning truth and you're beginning to act like what you believe. You put on the new self of the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity and truth. And so what he's saying here is that when he made you a brand new creation, stop playing, right? Just listen and don't distract. Right? He put inside of you holiness. He put a new person in here so that you could be a brand new person. It isn't only you just trying to do it. You have to believe what he's already made you as a Christian. Now you act like it. If I've been made the greatest football player in the world by God, I just need to go take a ball and then go do it.
I don't play football like that, but that's the bad kid.
But you understand that's what I'm saying? Be who you are in Christ and believe who he made you. It was his work. And it isn't the old you, you know, fixed up. It's a brand new you. That's the gift of God. With the same personality, but clean. I like the same stuff, but with purity attached to it. I'm the same person, but now I'm a holy me. And you too, every believer. Verse number 25, and I'm only going to go to verse number 32 and I'm done. Since you put away lying, every one of us, put it away. Speak the truth, each one unto his neighbor, because you are members of one another. All of you here are a family. And when you move on and you graduate, keep in touch with your younger brothers and your sisters and be a family all the way until you die. And love each other and help each other. It'll be a great thing. But in the church, we are a true family by our spirit. I got the same Father as you, the same Spirit as you. But we act like it. I don't want to hurt you because that's hurting a part of me. It's my family. And some families are very cruel, and the church, it can be cruel too. But there are people who truly love you. And that's the ones who truly know God. You can tell it by their deeds, not just their talking. Because we are members of one another. Be angry. I get angry at stuff, but do not sin. People do something wrong, it makes you angry. If a big person pushed down a small person, I might be angry. But don't sin. Don't act in an evil way out of your anger. Control your passion. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. You young ladies, as you argue over something, you catch it right back up. As you walk away angry, you come back later and you say, okay. That's just natural part of life. If you get two people like this in marriage, it's a good marriage. They forgive and they come back. Because I have a particular friend that makes me so angry at times. But the thing about her is even though I make her so angry at times, we always patch it up. That's a friend for life. We can patch it up. Let's keep going. And don't give place unto the devil. If we hold a grudge, if we carry beef, the only one that's going to be really happy there is the devil himself. Verse 28, is the thief us no longer steal? Now, I know that some of you, perhaps, in order to survive, you had to do hard things. But now, instead, he must do honest work with his own hands. Even that man or boy who's carrying that bucket, it hurts my heart to see children here your age out working. It'll be a young girl on the street. That's hard work. In the sun, not in school, having to work all day, 8, 9 years old. But that man that is a poor laborer, he comes home dirty, but he works. He's worthy of more honor than a rich thief or some politician who just takes people's money, or some fake pastor who's just taking money off of the poor people. That working man is honorable. And the reason that me and you work is to give. It's to help the ministry, help the preacher, and help the other poor saints that are in need. It isn't all going unto the pastor. It's unto the church. That's the way it is in the book of Acts. In the New Testament. And so he works that he may have something to share with those in need. No foul language is to come out of your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need. So watch your words and help people instead of tear them down, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. This is very critical. If I treat you dirty, I'm going to make him grieved and angry towards me as a father. And if he's grieved, you're going to be grieved. Because you can't see Christ. And your forgiveness is going to be hidden. And you need to repent. I can't be happy by mistreating people. It can't happen. Unto whom I was sealed for the day of redemption. So even though he's grieved, he's still going to stick it with me. And the last two verses. All bitterness, anger, wrath, and shouting, and slander must be removed from you. Let's not act that way. Along with all maliciousness. But be ye kind and compassionate to one another. Help her. Be compassionate. Forgiving one another. Even as God also, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's the gospel. I'm to treat you with my mind on how he treated me. And as I conclude everything, and I wrap up, and I leave, and I move on elsewhere, up until I see you again, this is the major point. If he truly has shown me mercy, and I didn't do anything. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't say, hey, me. It was all his grace. I was in prison. I was a sinner. I was under bondage. I was heading for hell. And he came by and he opened up the prison and let me go free. And there's a bunch of other people that are still bound. I need to act like it towards you. And if I really, truly believe I've obtained mercy, I'm going to be kind to you. But if I think I'm a big shot, I'm an American, I'm the oldest in here, I'm the strongest, I'm righteous, I'm good, I'm the pastor, I'm going to be mean towards you. And I'm going to use you to make me feel big. You better be able to judge people by what they do and by what they say. If they love God, it will show. And if you love God, it will too. Let's pray together. Are there any questions? I love you guys. And I'm very happy as I'm here.
and I get to feel. Yes, you have a question. So come in.
It is, I want to ask whether it is very good for somebody to look down on someone, especially when this one has something and this one doesn't have something.
No, no.